This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining you as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capital, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Great morning, guys, to be alive on this great football weekend.
Well, a lot of football, a little chilly outside, but that's okay. It's Canada. It's supposed to be chilly in the wintertime. Maybe they can get those outdoor arenas frozen, get somebody out there with the hose. Lou, you remember those days?
Boy, do I remember all those days. Yeah, it was great being a kid and going out and whether there was any snow, we'd just go out and play ball hockey, come home and get our cheeks nice and red, get a bite to eat, and go right back out till the wee hours of the night.
Yeah, go back out to those outdoor arenas that the somebody's father used to freeze, and nothing more Canadian than trying to lace up your skates outside in the dark when it's minus 20 degrees outside. I don't know how we did it, but we sure did. We had fun doing it, Naz.
Wally, I'm having connection problems.
Okay, then I'll turn you over to our producer, Dan. Maybe you can fix Naz's connection problems. We got a busy day of sports today. It was a busy day yesterday. Couple of games in the NFL, NFL playoffs. And the big game is tonight, the Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs down in Western New York. We're all thrilled about that. Coming up with us at the bottom end of the hour to talk all things NFL football, Joe Theismann. We'll catch up on that shortly after the first break. We've got Mike Wilson, the ultimate Leafs fan. Talk some Leafs. Leafs have been doing their Western Canadian swing this week with, I would say, sort of mixed results. Naz, you're with us, so we got your connection problem figured out. Oh, it doesn't sound like it. Lou, are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay. Might be a good time while we're getting Naz's connection problem figured out. You know, today we're doing the show remotely. Sometimes these things happen. You get a technical difficulty every day. So why don't we can figure out Naz. We'll take it to break. We'll get Mike Wilson, the ultimate Leafs fan, on the phone. And, you know, we're going to come back. And we got a lot to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's been an interesting week. The boo birds, the proverbial boo birds are, you know, they're getting ready. There's all kinds of discussion about the coach and the goaltending and all kinds of different things in Leafland. And why don't we get into it? Let's take it to break and we'll be right back with Mike Wilson.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, FM 96.7, and also live streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, doing fine, guys. Could be doing a little better in Leafland, but we've got them later today, and we got the Bills today, so maybe that'll get things going for us, Naz and Wally.
Naz and I are a little bit nervous, but we're going to get into that discussion with Joe Theismann later in the hour. But Leaf-wise, Mike, let's get into it. Let's get into it. I don't know where we want to start. But last night's effort against Vancouver, maybe two out of three periods were good. The first period was abysmal. The statistics, I think, when they say statistics are lie sometimes, they drastically outshot the Vancouver Canucks. But it didn't seem that way on the ice. We lost to Edmonton the other night. We had a lead. Managed to squeeze out a victory against Calgary. Not so good last night. You look at the standings this morning, Mike. There's five teams within four. Leafs are not even in a playoff position in their conference. They're in a wild card. Five teams, 4 points, within 4 points of them. We getting nervous here, Mike?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, first off, everybody in the organization, save for the video replay guys, have got blood in their hands as far as this goes, as far as the team's going right now. They're the only guys performing above expectations. But what you want to look at is, as most sports fans do, they have a tendency to look at their teams through rose-colored glasses. And you want to take those glasses off from it, and let's really examine what we're looking at. And nobody's a bigger fan than all of us, but looking at reality, Toronto Maple Leafs are middle of the pack right now, which is if you look at their lineup and the way this thing is structured right now, that's where they belong. If you break the team down, look at what they have. They have one elite player, Nasta Matthews. They have three excellent players in Mitch Marner, Morgan Riley, and William Nylander. They have an aging superstar who is a point-of-game player, Hall of Fame probably headed, who, as we knew when he signed that seven-year contract the last couple of years, would be struggling, and he is starting to struggle a little bit, but still he works his tail off, and you've got him. You have young kids like McNeese, McCann, Holmberg who have a chance to move up the lineup. You have a defense that's very average, say for McCabe, who's having a better year this year. Benoit's filled in admirably for the team, but they get scored on way too much still. The bottom six is average at best, although you're getting a lot out of guys like Genrock, who are a good player. Gregor's stepped in, but he gets scored on a lot too much. The goalies have been probably average, I would say. You're getting help out of Martin Jones. Your number one, there's no number one goalie that's been established as of yet. And with, you know, Joseph Woll coming back, he's played less than 30 games in the National Hockey League. It looks like it's his job to lose when he does get back. But you know his history. He got hurt a lot playing with the Marlies. So, again, that's up in the air. The free agent signings, I had no problem with them signing those guys at all, but they haven't delivered. Max Domi has been hot and cold throughout the year. Tyler Bertuzzi has not delivered at all. He's really has not played. He had that big year in Detroit. Now, listen, I came on this show and said he'd score 30, 40 goals playing with Matthews and Marner, but he couldn't keep up. And, you know, he's filling in the second line and plays, occasionally plays a little bit of snot, as, you know, Brad Treveling suggested, but he's not delivering on the goal end. And that $9 million tied up in those two paid players gets you a top two defenseman in National Hockey League. So if you break the team down like that, they're where they should be right now. And I don't know if the problem gets, you know, further along, but, you know, as the trade deadline approaches, they're so tight against the cap, I don't know how they make a move and improve this team from here.
Naz, your assessment, you're getting nervous.
Of course I'm getting nervous. Very nervous in the Marchese household right now. The Leafs knew exactly what was happening with their defense and have done nothing about it. And until they fix that D, it's going to be a long, long season, and they may not even make the playoffs.
Naz, we're getting some feedback from your phone. I'm not sure if you're listening to the show at all. Sorry, you just make the point about the defense. Go ahead, Naz.
The defense is needs to be fixed.
Okay, I don't know how you do that. Lou, your assessment, I don't know if you saw Craig Button on TSN the other night. He was pretty critical and essentially sort of made the same point that Mike just made, is that, you know, we tend to get down, you know, we're down on this team because they're not competing in at the upper echelon of the teams in the NHL. They're sort of a mid-range team right now that's got to fight for a playoff spot. Perhaps they are exactly who they are. And Button called them the Dallas Cowboys of hockey. That was not a compliment given the Cowboys' performance against the Packers. But Lou, you know, things were pretty good. We're in the mix a couple of weeks ago. Sort of got, I guess, a little bit sideswiped or got over exuberant based on a couple of results against some really weak Western teams, other than, you know, a good result against the LA Kings, but the LA Kings have sort of gone in the toilet since then as well. At least exactly where they should be, fighting for a playoff spot, based on what you've seen.
Well, I think Mike nailed it on every little topic here. They really are. And I am shocked that they are as close as they are. It's just amazing when you got four players of the caliber that they have. Obviously, you know, Trevor Livingston has got his hands full and trying to fill certain spots. The defense is aging. When you're asking Mark Giordano, a 40-year-old, to play as much time as he's playing at this time of year, what are his legs going to be at the end of the year? TJ Brody's drastically gone downhill. You're riding Morgan Riley most of the time. McCabe he hasn't played up to his so-called potential. And up front, you're getting Matthews and everybody else. Nylander hasn't scored in 8 games. He scored 2 last night. But Bertuzzi's been a flop. Domi's been a little bit of a disappointment. And even the kids like Matthew Knies, last night I'm watching the game, and in the last 3 minutes of the game, they got Bertuzzi on a 6-on-4 instead of having Matthew Knies out there, who's got probably a little bit better hands than Bertuzzi has. And I'm not sure if Knies was hurt or not. But it's going to be a situation where if there's nothing done right now, these guys are going to drop further and further, because right now they've brought everybody else closer to them. And you know how it is at the end of the year, the points get a little bit harder to get. when you have five or six teams vying for that last playoff spot or the last wildcard spot.
I thought, and I'm going to ask you guys to react to these statements last night after the game. There was an interesting statement made by Martin Jones, the goaltender, and there was an interesting statement made by Sheldon Keefe, the coach. Let's deal with Martin Jones first. This is what he said after the games, after the game. The Canucks worked hard. They came out really hard. They forechecked hard. They were physical. Everybody was playing the right way. Mike, how do you react to a goaltender saying that after the game? He's basically saying, you know, he's basically saying they outworked us, which was stating the obvious. But what's your reaction to those comments from the, by the goalie?
Well, you remember, it's the heat of the moment. He's after the game, and, you know, he didn't have a particularly strong game himself in that.
He's not wrong, is he?
No, but hang on. Like, you know, but, you know, so of course he's going to say that. And listen, Rick Tocchet has a way of getting the most out of all his players. When he was Arizona and they were at the bottom of the league, they were the number one penalty killing team. So he's always been defensive minded, and his teams play that way. If you saw in Pittsburgh, he had Phil Kessel back checking for crying out loud. So, you know, if you look at the way that team is structured, that's a playoff-built hockey club. And that's the message I think he was trying to send, that if you're going to win in this league, you have to play hard. And you got to play a heavy game. And that's the type of game you're seeing out of that Vancouver Canuck team last night. And that's how you have to play to win. So that's the message I take from it. And I take it as a fact that he said, look, you know, we lost last night, but we lost to a team who played the right way. And that's what he's saying. He's saying these guys, you have to play this way to win in this league. It's hard to win. Not only is it hard to score a goal in this league, it's hard to win. And that's what he's pointing out. And I agree with him 100%.
Naz, how do you react to that when Martin Jones basically says the Canucks work harder than we do?
Well, pointing to the coach, I think. I think there's going to be a coaching change with what's going on. And it's showing that Sheldon Keefe is not the guy right now. And we may need a coaching change.
Interesting, because the New York Islanders made a coaching change. Yes, never doubt Lou Lamoriello. I remember that time. You know, Mike, maybe your recollection is better than mine. Didn't Lamoriello fire Robbie Fatorik when they were, like, in first place overall? Brought in Larry Robinson, but they ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year, recall correctly. Yeah, so coaching – sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, look at the Raptors did. It was Dwight Casey wins coach of the year, gets fired, and they win the NBA championship the next year.
Lou, I want your comment, and then I'm going to go to Sheldon, what Sheldon Keefe said after the game. Lou, your comment on Martin Jones, and I don't disagree with Mike. You know, you got to be careful what you say just after the heat of the battle. You know, emotions are running high, but I don't think he was wrong, and I don't think that's necessarily just happened to the Leafs last night. You know, when he says Vancouver came out really hard, they forechecked hard, they were physical, no question about that. They made it difficult. I thought the most glaring difference between the teams last night is, man, if the Leafs were going to stand anywhere near Vancouver's goaltender, anywhere near that net, they were going to pay the price. And, you know, we saw that cross check by the big guy there, Myers, I think his name is, where he brutally cross-checked Morgan Rielly. But that's hockey. I mean, you know, if you're going to stand near the net, you're going to have to take some. But, you know, the Vancouver players are standing around that net seemingly without much of a battle the entire night. Lou?
They're playing Rick Tocchet-style hockey. It's a little bit of an old-style hockey, but he's got everybody playing hard. He's got Quinn Hughes. He's got Pettersson. He's got T.J. Miller, who was on the trading block at the start of the year. He's got Brock Boeser. These guys are top 20 scorers in the league. They've all bought into the style that, guys, if we play this way, we're going to be successful. And you look, when you get great goaltending like we did last night with Demko, it's just going to put them a little bit farther ahead. And, yeah, I'm really worried about, I've always said it on this show, that Sheldon Keefe is not the right guy for this hockey team. I don't know if you bring in a Berube, who's going to be a little bit of a hard-nosed kind of coach like Rick Tocchet is, because right now it's tough to hear that at the end of the game. And it's really, it was great to watch Vancouver come out and play as hard as they did, because they know they're successful when they're hard on the puck, especially in the offensive zone.
The interesting part about Vancouver, and this may have been the biggest difference in the game last night, it was the Vancouver bottom six that won the game. You know, two guys that I basically never heard of before last night, Hoglander with two goals and Connor Garland with two goals. You know, the Leafs stars seem to be bringing it. You know, Austin Matthews was, you know, he's all world right now. But the bottom end of the lineup isn't, you know, you got to have 20, 21, you got 20 players playing a game. Four guys don't necessarily win you a game night after night after night. Let me throw out Sheldon Keefe's comment after the game last night, and I want a reaction around the table. Sheldon Keefe, I thought from the second half of the first period, probably for the remainder of the game, at worst the game is even. And for the most part, we were the better team. Ask you guys your reaction to that. Who cares whether you were this team doesn't seem, you know, they just seem unprepared when they came out the first period. Naz, your reaction to Keefe's comment?
Pretty simple. His fault for them not coming out in the first 10 minutes. And that's the glaring errors we always make and think that the Leafs are unbelievably solid, but they're not. They're very, they need a new guy behind the bench, Wally.
Mike, I take from this, you know, there's criticism. Sometimes Leafs, you know, fall behind. But over the last couple of weeks, they've actually been ahead and haven't been able to, except for last night's game, they haven't been able to hold leads. It just seems like a team that can't play over the course of the last month. They can't seem to put it together for 60 minutes. Your reaction to that, Mike?
Well, again, it points to, you know, I don't want to keep pumping the tires of my friend Ricky Tocca, but look at how they got outshot 47, well, actually 42, 47 total shots to 21, and it never seemed like they were in threat to give up any sort of lead as the Leafs chased the game most of the evening. So on the basis of that, you know, Keith's comments, he's made a couple moves the last few weeks. Like, I'm one of these guys that, I don't think a coaching change makes that much difference in the longer run. In the short term, it does. But in the longer run, you know, sometimes, like you mentioned with Robinson, it works out. But most of the time, it doesn't, except for the short term. So I was all willing to give him a shot. But two mistakes I think he's made in the last couple of weeks was, one, first off, benching David Kemp for some crazy reason that made no sense whatsoever. And secondly, not only benching an embarrassing a future Hall of Famer, your captain who's revered by the players and the fans and media alike, and then calling him out publicly, that is a no-no. You cannot do that type of stuff. Call him into a room and do it. And then a couple of days later, he starts pumping the tires of Tyler Bertuzzi, who he's benched on more than one occasion this year into the third period when things get tough. And as Lou pointed out earlier, he was on the last minute last night because then nobody left to put out there. And then he starts pumping his tires. So I think he's taken a step back, realizing that desperation or maybe even panic could be settling with some of his comments and some of his moves in the last few weeks. I'm looking like a guy that wants to save his job. He has to be very careful how he treads moving forward and what he says. So I think the comment last night, what else are you going to say? The team did play fairly well the second half of the game. They did look a little better in the third period. And, you know, with some puck luck, that some of those goals may have gone in. And, you know, again, if Martin Jones had played like he had a couple of games before, a couple of those goals wouldn't have gone at the beginning. But Nylander's two goals should have been stopped, too. I mean, they were goals that the junior goalie should have stopped. But that's what goal scorers do. They score from anywhere. So going back to Keith, I just think, you know, he smells that there's blood in the water. He better, you know, there's no sense being negative. You've got to be positive. And he just tried to put a positive spin on it, especially with them playing 24 hours later tonight, playing against Seattle, who will be a handful.
Talking about coaching changes is an interesting point you make, Mike, and I don't disagree with you, is coaching changes sometimes make a big difference in the short term, but long term, who knows? But short term, you know, that's a decision that has to be made. You look around the league, the Oilers let's look at what the Oilers have done since they switched from over to Knobloch. They have now set a record, 13 straight wins, the most ever by a Canadian team. The most ever is by the 1992-93 Penguins, which is 17. They were criticized. Edmonton Oilers were criticized early in the year for basically having the same problem the Toronto Maple Leafs have, which is poor on defense and the goaltending not so good. They haven't given up more than two goals in the last 11 games. So I don't know if you want to give all this credit to a coaching change, but something out there changed with the same talent. Lou, you've been playing the NHL for a long time. I'm sure you've got some opinions on what the Leafs should do behind the bench. On the issue of what difference does a coaching change make, I'd like your perspective as a former NHL player.
Well, first, I'd like to make a comment on what Mike said, and I totally disagree with him in the sense that this is short-term, guys. This isn't a long-term plan here. Because the window is going to get close. It's going to shut down faster and faster with these four guys that we have here. So the Leafs have to start looking at the short term on making this team a lot better right now to move ahead. Because if they don't, they're not going to be in the playoffs. Not even talking about going for a Stanley Cup run. And you're absolutely right with bringing in a new coach. They need a new voice in this dressing room, okay? And this is, we go back to, this is a corporately owned hockey team. This isn't an individually owned hockey team. You look at all the changes that have been made in professional sports, the owners have not taken, they don't have second thoughts about the changes that they've made. You look at the NFL, you don't win, you're gone. The Islanders, they are where they are. Lambert wasn't the answer, so they brought in Patrick Roy, who's a great short term, could be long term for them. Okay, you look at what's going on in the NFL. Ornos, they get itchy fingers out there. And if they don't see something that they don't like, they're getting rid of the guy and they're bringing somebody else in. And I've said this from day one. Sheldon Keefe is not the voice of this hockey team. The only reason he's here is because Dubas brought him here. And you look at the last three or four years, that's what's going on. It's the same story. This team has been up and down all year. They don't play well in the playoffs. They're a very easy team to play against. Okay, they're not a very hard forechecking team because they're built around four very talented hockey players, and the players around them are not gritty enough. They're not big on the back end, and they're not very good on the goaltending end. So I really think that they have to make a change. And the sooner the better. But I don't know who's out there right now that can make that transition to make them a better hockey team. You know, Patrick Roy would have been a great pick here.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, certainly this is going to be, I think next Sunday's show is going to be very interesting because you got the Kraken tonight. It's a back-to-back. I don't know. I guess they're putting Samsonov in net tonight. That would be my guess anyways. And we get Winnipeg Jets back-to-back this week. And the Jets are one of the best teams in the league. So this is going to be a very interesting week and a very interesting show next Sunday morning. But, Naz, I think you're calling I don't know if we want to wait out the week to see what happens this week. You're calling for perhaps a change. Who do you see out there? Who do you see out there
the name that keeps coming around is Joel Quenneville, and he is available, but I don't know if he's got clearance from the NHL on this, but Joel Quenneville keeps coming out.
Yeah, I don't even know whether they have clearance on Quenneville or not. I can't see the Leafs hiring him. MLSC is they're a corporate owner. They abide by the progressive values of today. And I just from a PR standpoint, I don't know whether they want to get into those types of issues. Mike, if you were to look around, first of all, I know that you're more measured at times than the rest of us are. I don't really think you're calling for Sheldon Keefe's job just yet. But if the Leafs had to look around, who would you look at?
Well, I agree. Listen, I don't disagree with what Lou said, but I mean, I was just saying, you know, at some point these things don't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
In this case, as I'm saying, I think he's digging his own hole. And what I was referring to is maybe been misunderstood. I'm saying a month ago, I would have just let him ride the season and see how it goes. But what he's been doing the last month has not helped his case. I would go after Joel Quenneville. Also, Craig Berube would be a good choice. But keep this in mind also, fellas. He can only play the players that he's given. And they're right against the cap. And what moves can he make? Is it his fault that Tyler Bertuzzi has paid $5.5 million a year and scored 6 goals? Or that, then the coach, and what's he going to say? He says he's playing good. Well, a guy playing good is Zach Hyman, who makes the exact same amount of money and scored 27 goals. So what you guys have to be prepared for is also this. Keep this in mind. Never mind this year, which is the window's going to be very close. Next year, this team has already committed $64 million to 8 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie who's played less than 30 games. They're going to have less than $23 million to sign 12 players. So this problem is a lot, and that's notwithstanding the fact you got to sign Marner. And that's still, so keep in mind, sign 11, 12 players. That's going to carry into next year. What are you going to do this year to make room to fill these holes that are in this lineup right now? That's the question I want to ask, and that's where we go to Brad Treliving. And I mean, again, is it Sheldon Keefe's fault that he signed Ryan Reeves for some odd God-known reason? He should be playing with me Sunday night in this American Beer League. And that, you know, the fact is he would then immediately trades away Sam Lafferty, who's the guy missing that snot-type player looking for in that bottom fourth line. You trade him for a fifth-round draft pick to Vancouver, and look at what he's doing for them this year. He's got 10 goals again for the third year in a row. So, you know, on and on we go. Will a new voice change things? Of course. And to Lou's point, with desperation, yes, absolutely. That should be done, probably because this team, as I'm pointing out already and repeating myself, next year, boy, they're going to have their hand full. So let's try and get in and get into the dance for the postseason and see what happens.
Wally, one thing.
Sorry, go ahead, Ness.
The Leafs, before they hired Mike Babcock, they had a 5-year contract in place with Guy Boucher at Coastal Leafs back then.
Yeah.
Guy Boucher is on the coaching staff now. Look for him to be the main guy going forward, I believe.
Lou? Yeah, just a couple of minutes left, Lou. You know, when you get into these things, at least you know, they've got to do what they have to do to make the playoffs, and that's going to be, well, I wouldn't call it a struggle, but there has to be some sort of change in their performance between now and playoff time. You can't dump the whole team. The guy that you always look at if you want to change things quickly is the coach. What does Treliving do here? How long does he wait? And who are the guys in the background that you'd possibly look at, Lou?
Well, I would have thought that after this road trip, they would have given a better sense of where this team stands. They've played up and down like they have the whole year. Maybe the change is going to be made after the All-Star game. I don't know. Maybe they'll look at the 2 games against Winnipeg coming up and see what happens there, see what kind of effort they get, because 1 game is at home on Wednesday night, and then they go back out in Winnipeg. Naz made a great point. You got Guy Boucher out there right on the bench. And I remember when I played here in Toronto in 89-90, they brought in Tom Watt as an associate coach to Doug Carpenter. And I remember saying to people back then, this is not very good, because Doug came off a so-so year. We ended up breaking all kinds of records for goal scoring, but we flaunted in the playoffs, say St. Louis, in 5 games. And when you bring in a coach or a personnel that has had experience and a lot of experience as an assistant coach to somebody that's a little bit more like Sheldon Keefe, you know, you've got to be looking over your shoulder, because Boucher adds the little bit of fire, and you saw it back then when he was a head coach, a little bit of fire that can get under these guys, and he's acclimated himself to the personnel, the personalities of all these guys that are on the bench, and he's been there for every single day of practice. So he's got an insight of what buttons have to be pushed to get this team over the hump.
And Lou, I'm going to have to – yeah, I'm sorry, Lou. I'm going to have to interrupt you. We've got to take it to the next segment because otherwise spending the rest of the hour talking about the Leafs. Anyways, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Should be an interesting week. Should be a fun show talking about Leafs next Sunday morning. Somehow I got a feeling something's going to happen this week. Either the Leafs are going to play extremely well or we know what the other alternative is. On that note, we're going to take the break. Be right back with Joe Theismann.
Play ball!
In baseball, winning takes nine. On the ice, you need six working together towards a common goal. Whereas success in sports radio requires a team of two who don't always agree. Venture Construction Services congratulates the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on 10 years of telling it like it is. More than friends of the show, they're fans who want to see Naz and Wally succeed for as long as Venture Construction has. Almost 30 years. Three cheers for the winning team of Naz and Wally.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live streaming at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend Joe Theismann. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Hope you are also.
We're doing great, sir. We kept you waiting a couple of minutes too much. We got into this overheated Toronto Maple Leafs discussion, and you know what it's like in Toronto when you start talking hockey.
Oh, yeah. When you start talking hockey, especially the Leafs, I'm surprised you have time for me.
Well, our other great passion is the Buffalo Bills. So, and we always have time for you, Joe. We never have enough time. But thanks so much for joining us. I want to get right into it. It's a huge game down in Western New York tonight, the Bills and the Chiefs. Going to ask you to respond to this thought, Joe. The Bills are coming off 2 days less rest than the Kansas City Chiefs, 2 days less preparation, and they've got massive injuries issues on their defense. Are the Bills going to be able to overcome that?
I think they can. I think they've, first of all, the lack of a couple of days of practice, everybody's used to playing on Sundays and Thursdays now, so this isn't really that unusual. Obviously, weather didn't allow them to play the normal schedule last week, but I don't necessarily see that preparation time being that big a deal. I mean, at this point, you're not going to change much anyway. The injuries on the defensive side, I do. You know, Kansas City's a very good football team if they hold on to the football. And I thought Patrick Mahomes had a really good year, not a great year, a good year.
except for the fact that a lot of guys, you know, had over 30 drops through the course of the year, and they were in key situations in games. But I think this is a game that really belongs to Josh Allen. I think Josh has to do what he does. I think a little bit, you know, of what we saw with Lamar last week, yesterday, watching him run the football, take control of the game with his legs as much as he can with his arm. This is one of those rare situations where usually you talk about defense wins championships. Well, in this case, the offense is going to have to complement Buffalo's defense in this game against Kansas City.
Nez?
Joe, how important is the running game in all of this?
Oh, I think it's vital. I mean, you know, I played for George Allen, where all he talked about was, you know, run the football, protect the football. More bad things can happen when the ball goes in the air versus when you hand it off to somebody. You get more holding penalties when the ball's in the air. You get more interceptions. You get more fumbles down the field. You get more sacks. When you run the football, it's more physical. It's not. I'll tell them I'll get that call later. It's more physical as far as that goes.
Lou?
Joel, this is going to be the third time's the charm here. And how does Steve Spagnuolo more or less corral the Buffalo offense since they added a little bit of a new running back there with Cook and with Josh Allen's running ability?
I think that's going to be their biggest challenge, is to control the running game. Buffalo is, you know, with the new coordinator, is more committed, it looks like, to running the football. And like I say, in conditions like you have in Buffalo, I'm sure it's going to be cold. I don't expect any snow tonight, right? I mean, they're not expecting any weather, but you never know. I mean, the lake does what the lake wants to do. So I just really think that for the Buffalo Bills, the ability to be able to run the football, to be able to win time of possession, will be very, very important in this football game against Kansas City.
What did you think of the Bills' performance against the Steelers?
I thought it was gritty. You know, I think everybody went into that game thinking, oh, the Steelers basically, you know, yeah, they're in, but so what? But I thought that they got off to a big start, and then all of a sudden they lost some steam. You know, it's funny. When you play four quarters of football, and you have to try at this point of the season when you're in the playoffs, you have to play with the same intensity for all four. The worst thing that could happen sometimes is when you've got teams at this level that are this competitive and this good, you can't afford to sit there on a 17-point lead or a 14-point lead and say, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about where I am. Man, you have got to put the pedal to the metal and just keep on doing the things that you did. You can't get too conservative. You have to be able to be aggressive. You've got to have guys make plays. Guys have to make key catches in certain situations, or key blocks, or key tackles. You know, I thought, you know, Buffalo almost let that one get away last week.
Yeah. Nats?
How important is Josh Allen in the running scheme, Joe?
He is part of the running scheme. You know, and as most people have running backs, they have, you know, two or three running backs. Buffalo has Josh Allen. I mean, like I said, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are the two guys that can impact you with your legs. And the problem is if you try and defend their legs, then they're going to throw the ball over you, around you, behind you, and every other place on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, I mean, Kansas City's secondary has not had necessarily the best reputation of being able to, you know, tackle, defend the ball. But, I mean, they're playing better. But you're still talking about a very, very unique individual. The big thing with Josh is in key situations, especially when they get in the red zone, you know, he's got to protect the football. I've always tried to remind myself, protect the points. You know, throw the ball. We saw it yesterday. Classic example yesterday with Jordan Love when he threw that last interception. Hmm. What in heaven's name was he thinking? We've all done it. But, you know, number one on your list as a quarterback is never throw back late to the middle of the football field. There are 10 things that can happen bad. Maybe a half of one good. But and it's exactly what happened to Jordan. I mean, they're going to tie that football game. San Francisco had dropped people back. If he just gets the ball out of his hands, and by the way, it was first and 10, I believe, which is it's even more of a cardinal sin. It's more of a cardinal sin when you do that on first and 10. But, you know, he's a young guy trying to make a play. It worked for him in the previous game a little bit against Dallas. He, you know, got away with some things. That's the worst thing that can happen. It's like going to a casino for the first time in your life and winning. You think it's going to happen a lot. You think it's going to happen a lot. It ain't going to happen, buddy, I'll tell you.
And, I like that analogy. I'm going to have to remember that one. Yeah.
The young man's played had an incredible year. And this is what the playoffs is. You know, I go back to the Super Bowl. I threw in Super Bowl 18 when I threw the interception at halftime, or just before halftime when Jack Squire ran in the end zone. You know, we were 14-3 going into half. Now all of a sudden it's 21-3, and you're going against a terrific defensive football team. You know, so to me, I think that, you know, for Josh has got to be. They're not going to saddle Josh. Josh is going to take off and run. He's going to run over people. You know, you may as well talk to a tree if you tell Josh to slide. I mean, you know, hey, Josh, protect yourself, slide. You're going to be talking to a stump or something. It wouldn't matter. He's going to be himself, and that's what he has to be, I think, in these playoffs.
Joe, you know, at this time of year, all teams have injuries, and nobody wants to make injuries an excuse. But to have that many starters out of your defense certainly has to have an effect on the Buffalo Bills. How does the coaching staff adjust to that?
Well, you've got a 53-man roster, and you've been playing now without some guys as it is. So there's really no, you know, there's no excuse. The analogy to that for me is coaches will put in plays in training camp, and you may not use them for 15 weeks, 16 weeks, or you may not use them until you get to the playoffs. But they expect you to know it as well as you did back when they installed it. It's the same thing with hurt players, with injured players. It's a double-edged sword. Yes, there are guys that are filling in for guys that won the starting jobs. But on the other side, these other guys are on the roster because they can play the position. And they have to play it at another level. It's their turn to step up. It's their opportunity to show what they can do. You know, truthfully, the guys that are backing up are playing for opportunities to be able to maybe go someplace else and be a starter or stay in Buffalo. So you lose a little bit in the talent level, but conceptually, if you're tackling well in the secondary, if you're putting pressure up front, you got a real opportunity to be able to, to control the game to a degree.
Joe,
but,
from
you know, on the offensive side, you know, real quick on the offensive side, you lose Gage. I mean, there's a guy. What, last time they played, had three touchdowns. I mean, you're short on the defensive side, yes, but the offensive side, you're missing a key element as well.
Joe, from perspective of a player, the Buffalo, down at I think it's Highmark Stadium. I still call it Rich Stadium for some reason. you know, the Buffalo Bills fans are, you know, they're some of the most vocal. They're called Bills Mafia. How much difference is it equivalent? They use the proverbial 12th man analogy. How much difference does a home crowd mean in a game of this
huge,
this stature?
It's huge. Look at the problems the fans in Detroit created last week. You know, just against the Rams. I mean, the ability to be able to communicate is difficult. I mean, all one guy has to do is miss a signal, run the wrong route, and it's a pick six going the other way. I don't think we talk enough about the impact of the fans. And the Bills fans will be extremely vocal. We saw with the Ravens yesterday. I mean, you know, you take a look at that football game yesterday, and Houston was jumping off sides. They were trying to anticipate as opposed to hear. I'll never forget, we played Detroit in the old Pontiac Stadium, and it was built into the ground, and the sound would go up and sort of come down on you like water. I'm under center. I'm calling signals. We get back to the huddle. Russ Grimm, my left guard, who is literally a foot and a half from me, says to me, "Joe, you have to talk up. I can't hear you." I said, "Russ, I'm yelling as loud as I can. Watch the ball. That's the best I can do." But it makes a huge difference. That's why everybody wants home field advantage. You want to play at home because on the other side of it, what they'll do is, now that's a little bit difficult. It also makes it difficult for the defense to be able to communicate with one another if the fans are going crazy trying to upset the offense of the other team. There are fewer hand signals. There are fewer hand signals that they use. But the important thing is you know, you got to be a little careful in communication there as well.
Lou? Joe, which team right here is going to feel a little bit more comfortable? We know that, obviously, you watched the San Francisco game last night, and they're always a more comfortable team playing from ahead than they are from behind. And certain teams are comfortable coming from behind. Which one of these two teams are not going to panic if the other team gets out to, let's say, a 14 or 17-point lead in the first half?
I think it's a wash, Lou. To me, both of these quarterbacks have handled pressure before. Both of them had huge comebacks. You look at the shootout they had last year. You know, Buffalo still, I think the fans are still asking themselves questions. Why would we kick the ball in the air and give them 13 seconds with a timeout to be able to have an opportunity to you know, put themselves in a position to go to overtime and win a football game? I think that neither one of these quarterbacks are going to be affected in any way, shape, or form. If you're down by 7, you're down by 10, it's not going to matter. You know, like I said, I don't see either one of these defensive coaches backing off. I think they want to bring pressure, and it's going to be, you know, Patrick's as mobile as Josh. He just, you know, he runs with a different style. It's like watching Lamar Jackson throw. It's not a conventional throwing motion. Because it's not conventional, people say, oh, well, it's not that good. That's not true at all. You know, Bernie Kosar threw the ball from his hip, for crying out loud. Dan Marino threw it over the top. Jim Kelly, classic over-the-top thrower, talking about Buffalo Bills. So, you know, and Josh has got the great gun. As a matter of fact, you know what I saw from Josh over the last, I'd say, month? Is a lot of the crossing routes, he's taken a little off the ball. I think made it a little easier for his receiver to catch. He's put a little more touch on the ball. You know, it's not the fastball all the time. And I think, you know, this is his continued growth at the quarterback position has become evident to me.
Naz?
Joe, cold weather. What was the coldest or toughest day you played in?
I mean, other than down at the
other than
Toronto?
The Great Cup, of course.
Jeez. Well, the Great Cup was miserable. I mean, it was just rainy and miserable. So that was, you know, that was one thing. But playing in Buffalo, I'm trying to think what year it was, maybe 80, 79, 80, 81, something like that. We were playing Buffalo in Buffalo, the last game of the season. Total attendance at the game, maybe 5,000. You could hear the cars running in the parking lot. The Bills were out of it. I mean, but it was -5 with the wind chill. And you know, it just doesn't do you any good to go sit in front of a heater. Of course, we had these blowers, so we didn't have heated seats then. But because as soon as you get up, that cold's going to jump back in you. You can't wear a lot of clothing layering simply because you got to move around. But I wore leggings to try and keep my legs halfway warm. I wore a long shirt, and then I had the pouch. And then, you know, now the guys, because they have communicators in their helmets with the wind, sometimes you see the guys cover the holes in the helmets so that you can hear. I've never worked with a communicator in my helmet. Someday I'm going to go to Washington's practice and put the helmet on and have somebody talk to me just to see what it sounds like.
Joe, going to the other games yesterday, and we've got another one coming up today, two coming up today, but another one we haven't talked about. From yesterday's, what I got the sense was the 49ers weren't as good as I thought they would be, and the Ravens were better than I thought they would be. Your assessment?
Ravens were what I expected. It took them a little while to get going, too. I mean, it really took them about a half to get going. C.J. Stroud showed the fact that, you know, he wasn't going to make a mistake. I just felt like he threw the ball well, but he wasn't going to make a mistake that possibly could cost the game. So Baltimore just took over defensively and offensively. So that game didn't surprise me as much. San Francisco did not play well. Brock Purdy was struggling, it looked like, all day with a wet football. You know, the one shot they had of him dropping back, taking his you got to have a lot of poise to drop back, take your hand off the ball, wipe your hand, and then put it back and then make a throw. Albeit it was behind the receiver. But the fact of the matter is that I felt like San Francisco did not play a game, and without Samuel, they're a different kind of an offense. I thought Jennings stepped up and did a great job, but he's not Debo. And, you know, Christian was Christian. This next game, whomever they get, Detroit or San Francisco or Tampa Bay, they're going to have to play better football. You know, their defense bailed them out to a large degree. Excuse me.
Joe, the clock is about to strike 10 o'clock, which means we've got to get off the air. We're going to thank you so much for taking the time for us this morning. And we are all hoping in Southern Ontario, a lot of us are, the ones of us that are Buffalo Bills fans, that we get a result. Love to see the Bills in the Super Bowl again. Anyways, Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Wally. Great catching up with you. Naz, Lou, take care, and talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Joe Theismann. Lou, I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and should be an interesting week in Leafland. And Naz, as always, you get the final word.
What else can I say today? Go Bills.
I can't add to that. Thanks so much to our listeners for joining us. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a fantastic week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.